Hey, everybody, this is Philip J. Fry from Futurama, pizza delivery boy. And right now you're listening to This Week in Geek, and you can find it on the web at beinggeek.net. Birdman and Double D. It's awesome. It's cool.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I'm your host, Jamie J.J. Johnston, and I'm joined by...
Mike the Birdman Dodd, and we're back! Because, my God, we've had a lot of crap come out on the site this week, so we had to push this back a couple of days.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've been playing a lot of video games, having a lot of content happening, both The Prototype has gotten pushed a little bit back into the sidelines, just because we had to post all this other stuff.
Well, that and I forgot to post last week's episode because I was evidently delirious from fever.
Yeah. Well, it's at least up now.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, Jamie, I think I maybe spent a grand total of an hour out of bed last week. Actually, it's funny. About a week and a half ago, RoboCop came out, and I finally got to see it as of this recording last night. I went to dinner with my wife. I'm like, all right, cool, I'm gonna go out, I'm feeling fine. And then it's like someone took a septic tank and threw it into a turbine jet engine, because that's what happened. Shit hit the fan, figuratively and literally. I thought I was gonna die. Oh my God, I thought I was gonna die. And just, oh my God, I spent easily 20 hours a day sleeping. I finally feel okay today. I mean, other than a little bit of a wet cough, I'm fine. I'd say I feel about 60%. So, about average for me.
So maybe RoboCop was just that bad?
You know what? I saw the new RoboCop, and and by the time this episode has come out, y'all have already heard me and Scotty's topic show on it. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was RoboCop, but it wasn't my RoboCop, if that makes any sense. It's very much, briefly in summary, it's the RoboCop the drone generation deserves.
But the drone generation,
well,
I love it.
Well, that's the thing, because it's dealing with this whole idea is man versus unmanned drones. Is RoboCop a man? Is he a machine? Blah, blah, blah. And it raises some very cool philosophical questions, I think, the movie explored kind of. I imagine there'll be more in a commentary, but regardless, it's not half bad. It's just, it's not Paul Verhoeven's hyperkinetic violent satire. It's very much
PG.
Yeah, it's very PG-13, although when you think about it, the original only had a couple of really super violent scenes. I mean, with Clarence Boddicker getting stabbed in the neck, the toxic waste guy, and then Mr. Kenny are the only super violent deaths, I think, that were even worthy of the R, even to the X rating. With this one, he kills a few people, but they're not, like, overly violent. I mean, they get shot, they fall down. So, I don't know. I mean, I'd say it's worth seeing once. Maybe see it on a cheap Tuesday or something. But it's not terrible, despite what people may have you believe.
Huh. So, see, this has got the same kind of worry that I have for the new Ninja Turtles that's going to be coming out. It's one of those, it might be good, but it's still not going to be my Ninja Turtles, so I'm going to try not to hate it. It's also Michael Bay.
Whatever. So I've seen some of the toys come out of Toy Fair. I'm not a huge fan of one or two of the designs, but the Shredder looks awesome. So we'll wait and see.
Oh, I haven't even seen that. So anyway, what have you been playing while being dead and not dead?
Playing dead and not dead. I'm still playing Assassin's Creed 2. I've also been playing Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy 13 3, is it?
It's just called Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13. Okay. They even dropped the numbering. They put her name first, and then like there's no 3 in it, but I just call it Final Fantasy 13 3. That's what it is.
Honestly, I really enjoy it. I actually went out and went out of my way to get all the extra costumes for it, which surprisingly affect gameplay and do make it more fun for me. I'm about a day into it. And then the other thing I've been playing is, officially, I can't review this game until tomorrow, but there'll be a rat out on it regardless. So now that I'm dating this episode, I now fucking have to do this. Is South Park...
Backing and, yourself into a corner.
Yep. South Park and the Stick of Truth. I will say this. Holy shit, this is one huge, sloppy blowjob to the fans of the show for the last 16 years. Like, oh my god, this thing is jaw-droppingly funny. There's more than a few moments of, I can't believe that just fucking happened. And just, it's so funny. It's literally that. And the thing is, you're never bored. I have very rarely had that with an RPG where I'm thinking, man, I wish something would just fucking happen. I don't know. It's really fun. In fact, I kind of wonder if this will be my new Mass Effect, a game that I play through multiple times just to see how things change with, like, different character classes.
Huh.
I'm playing through it as a fighter. The next time I go through it, I may try playing as a Jew or a thief.
So I'm going to go spend $70 on a blowjob.
Yeah, pretty much. This is amazing. And the little fucking statue is really well done. I mean, honestly, and for what you'd pay for the upgrade to get the collector's edition, totally worth it. I can't tell you about the extra digital content, because as of right now, I'm told if I put this thing on PSN or Xbox Live, they'll ban my console. So I can't do that, and I don't want to restart my playthrough. So I'm going through it as a vanilla playthrough. But still, very, very fun. Full review coming on Tuesday, March 4th.
Cool. So I've been playing Lightning Returns as well. I don't have all the costumes like you did from pre-order bonuses and stuff. I got the one for pre-ordering it, you know, the soldier's uniform with the Buster Sword, which... really cool homage to Final Fantasy VII, and if they ever say we don't have the ability to make Final Fantasy VII after the teaser, like, it's a fucking cock tease. Even when you win a battle on that uniform, it plays the Final Fantasy VII win music, and she spins the sword just like Cloud, and she's it. So, Square Enix, give me a fucking HD Final Fantasy VII, seriously. I've also been playing... what the fuck was it called? Oh, the Titanfall beta. I don't know if that was last week or 2 weeks ago. I've lost track of time because all I can think about is this fucking game.
I think it ended on the 19th, so it would have been about 2 weeks ago, more or less. Which Titanfall comes out next week, next Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it'll be next Tuesday, March 11th.
I don't even know. All I know is I want it. I want it now. Like, we were talking about this before this episode, actually. And I wish we had been recording our fucking just splooging on this game, basically. Back and forth, we just kept throwing stories of how good that experience was. And it was just a fucking beta. There was two maps, fucking like half, if not more than half of the content was not in the game. And I know I didn't stop playing it. As soon as I started, I did not stop unless I needed to sleep or eat. And I forgot about everything else that was going on. And I just want this game so bad. Like, I wish it was out now.
When I got into it, I got in just before they made it open to everybody. So I was in part of the cool kids club for all of 20 minutes. and I played probably 200 matches on it, unlocked everything except all the mods. I unlocked about half of those, but never once did I feel bored during this game, and never once did I feel shitty while playing it, which is kind of a thing I didn't quite expect to.
Yeah, like with Call of Duty, you'll always have those moments where you're just like, you know what, I'm getting shit on, I fucking just don't want to play this game anymore. With Titanfall, it was always like, oh, I just died, that was kind of my fault though, you know what, I'm gonna respawn, I'm gonna get in a Titan, I'm gonna fuck that guy's day up for killing me. You never feel shitty when playing this game. Like, there's always something awesome about it, always action packed, and
you're always contributing to the fight, even if you're not killing pilots.
Yeah, even if you suck and just want to kill the NPCs, you still contribute to the battle. If you fucking in the what's it called, the one where it's you all start as Titans And the objective is to actually destroy all the Titans of the opposing team rather than points or anything. So even if you get blown up in your Titan, you immediately can eject yourself, and then you're on the ground and you can help be a distraction. You can help shoot them. Like, you can jack onto them and just start fucking blasting their weak points.
One of the things I do like is that you can't steal Titans.
Yeah, see, a lot of people asked me, they were like, can you steal? And I'm like, no. I'm like, well, that's stupid. You should be able to steal their Titans. I'm like, no. They kind of have a bit of a storyline thing of they're, like, biosignaturely locked to you. And the way the gameplay is right now, you get a Titan often enough that you don't feel like you need to steal theirs. It's not like Halo where the mechs and the tanks and everything are only so often. Like, you can have a Titan fucking constantly if you're good enough. And even if you're not, you're still going to have fun.
Yeah, I mean, never once did I feel outclassed. I mean, there were a few matches where it was kind of lopsided, but I never felt like, oh, man, I'm just going to give up.
It was still fun. I mean, if you get an entire team of people that are just like, herp derp, I'm looking at a wall, versus a whole team that's full on helping each other out, being like, okay, let's move its squad, it's shit like that. It doesn't matter what game you're going to play. You're going to get fucked up, but you still feel powerful when you get to call down your Titan and at least try to fight back.
One final thought I want to share this, because we really should get talking about
this. Yeah, we should.
is that never once did teamwork would help, but I kept muting all my teammates and the other guys. Only once did I ever come across one person that was annoying. That was a dream. It was beautiful. That game, you can play completely silent, and you'll still win, which is kind of nice. But anyway,
silent from other players.
Silent from other players.
The last thing that I'm going to note before we can get into our topic, I also played Payday 2, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. It's the one where it's like bank heist and stuff. I went over to a buddy's house and we were like, you know what? It's free on PSN. I'm not sure if it's still going to be free as of this recording, because that was like a week ago when we downloaded it. If you have PlayStation Network, the upgraded service, you can get games for free, right?
Yeah.
This game is really fucking fun doing bank heists with three friends. So if you have three friends, you have PlayStation Network, and if it's still free, go get it, because it's like, I don't know, it's just a really fun time, and it's very a unique kind of shooter game, but also has a little bit of Splinter Cell-esque. Anyway, so on to today's topic. We are going to talk about why we play video games. So we're going to delve into a little bit of why, as a human populace, we believe that people play video games, but most of the subject will be why we specifically play video games. So I don't know. How do you want to start this off? I could go through some of the reasons why video games are good for humanity, especially the adolescent side of it. What do you think? Should I do with that first, or do you have a story or anything?
Okay, so regarding why we play, well, I don't know. I mean, we've been playing games for thousands of years. I mean, they found ancient checkers. I mean, people play cards all the time. There's some pirate game I played in Assassin's Creed 4 that's evidently been played since, like, Roman times. And, like, it's you move these little things on a board or whatever. So, other than just to relieve boredom, I think it's also, it's a good way to communicate with each other. I mean, it's like a bonding experience. I mean, like, why do people play football, hockey, bowling, curling, whatever? It's something to do. And with the rise of the digital age, I mean, coming out of the late 60s into the 70s and all the way through today, there's been, like, Pong clones, there's been the arcades, and the experience has evolved along the way. I mean, back in the 80s and the 70s, the arcades were a huge social experience, and it was this huge cultural mashup where you'd get, you know, the stockbroker from down the streets playing with the kid at the car wash. They'd be getting together playing Pac-Man or Joust or something. So it was this huge cultural exchange. And then as the video game experience got more personal with the home console market, things began to change there too. It became more, it became less of an economic experience, because obviously in the arcade you're always pumping quarters to survive, so to speak. In the home experience, you could always just continue, so to speak. So it became more kind of skill driven, and then it kind of came full circle again when the arcades came back in the 90s, and people started playing again. And I don't know, it's this weird cultural evolution, I think. And I think we play not, I don't know, it's almost like a forced social evolution every 10 to 15 years, it seems.
Well, yes and no. Like, it is a social thing. So there is the ability to play games that you're playing online with other people, bringing people together, building teamwork, is actually a good reason or a good thing that video games help. We're going to try to stray away from the trolls part of this, the positive part of playing video games. But there is psychological reasons as to why people want to sit down and play a video game rather than, say, read a book or something else that is entertainment-wise to remove the boredom. So there's, like, for a lot of video games, and this is something that I test a lot of my math skills and everything from childhood from, it's problem solving. Almost every game has some sort of form of problem solving, whether it be math questions, it's figuring out a puzzle in Legend of Zelda, it's trying to figure out what kind of strategy I can use in Call of Duty to actually take down this team that is kicking my ass. You've got all kinds of, like, every type of game has a way to increase your ability to problem solve, because it's always has steps all the time that you'll end up having to take, whether you do it subconsciously or not. Other things, I guess that's not really a reason why we play. Unless you're a psychologist, some people actually, I'm trying to remember what I read or watched about this. Basically, humans have a need to feel accepted in a sense of, what is the word I'm looking for here, Dodd?
I don't know.
Well, basically, it's a psychological thing for feeling accepted by a community, because you're
belonging.
Yeah, it's a sense of belonging. That's the one I'm looking for. Which problem solving allows you to have what is it called? Basically, a positive reinforcement. Mm-hmm. So by doing something that you feel matters, so when you're playing like Bejeweled and shit, it's got the little dings and all that.
So sense of accomplishment.
Sense of accomplishment. But see, it gives you positive reinforcement, which gives you that sense of accomplishment. Example, that fucking annoying ass game that came out and drove millions to friggin' download it, Flappy Bird, for phones and stuff. The guy actually took it down because he couldn't handle the pressure anymore of people wanting to give him money for free or some shit. I don't know.
Wow. I wish I had that problem.
Did you not hear about Flappy Bird?
I did, believe
me. Oh, okay.
And what a stupid fuck this guy.
The game is, yeah, like, people in media and game development, we all are like, what the fuck? Like, how did this get big? And this guy sucks. But he doesn't really, because good for him, he managed to corner some sort of market accidentally or whatever. Anyway, not talking about that, but games like that where you're literally doing the simplest task, but it gives you a little ding whenever you actually go through each hoop. It's just a sense of accomplishment. That's why all of those little handheld games always have, like, hooray, you did it, and shit like that almost every 3 fucking seconds. It just thrives off that human need for accomplishment and, like, positive reinforcement. And then you've got other things like, do you have any ideas?
Not really. I'm kind of liking where you're kind of going with this. Keep going.
Well, I try to be philosophical every now and then, but I didn't really prepare any notes for this episode, so that's why I keep going. Not very professional right now, but
That's okay.
That's what the prototype's about.
Well, I think one of the main reasons that we play now, especially now, it's I don't know, it's like this sense of kind of exploring the worlds around us. And what I mean is, I think we're at a point, I think, in our cultural history, is that where it's okay to explore the fantastic. I mean, back in, say, the early part of the last century, you know, people got made fun of because they looked at the works of, say, Jules Verne or pulp magazines. You know what I mean? Like, basically, in the golden era of comic books, it wasn't considered cool or whatever. Now that we're at a part in pop culture where movies like The Avengers and, you know, Batman make billions of dollars.
Oh, man, the natural populace, like the general populace now, is pretty much what geek used to mean back, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So it's really hard for people to actually say, hey, oh, you're a nerd, because you know what? Everybody likes this stuff now. It's become a society that thrives on creativity and video games, comics, all that kind of stuff, well, which is awesome for us.
It's one of those times where you can pick a culture up off the shelf that isn't NASCAR, that isn't hockey, that isn't something inclusive that requires a significant investment of time. Video games can literally... You can never played a game before in your life, pick up a game like, well, you did mention stuff like Flappy Bird and Bejeweled and get sucked into it. That's a different type of gaming experience, but we're talking about... so. Like,
it's still classed as a video game, though.
Yeah, but you can get sucked into experiences like, say, World of Warcraft, a massively multiplayer online experience, and get driven into the story and the social aspect of it now. Now we're at a time in our culture where that's fine. That's accepted. And you have these huge multimedia franchises like Halo, which has spawned its own movie, Forward Unto Dawn.
It's got books. It's got
comics, toys. Yeah, everything. Another one might be Mass Effect, where you've got toys, you've got comic books, you've got anime with it as well. And it's a mostly narrative-driven story experience. The gameplay is very fun, too. But the world and the lore becomes the main reason you get invested in it. And now that's fine. I mean, video games have just, they've blown up in such a way where they're just an accepted part of our culture, where you're not looked down on them if you play them as part of your regular life. I mean, if you look at the massive acceptance of, like I said, just social gaming, Facebook games too, a lot of people play these too. It just is. And the fact that we have to have these time waster games on our cell phones really speaks something to the culture as well, too.
Well, it's become so much of a part of everyone's lives because, you know, the positive reinforcement, which makes you feel good. You've got things that challenge you, which, you know, that's going through another part of our brains. It brings people together, too. I mean, a lot of people don't really do this as often as you'd think, whereas other people do. Playing video games rather than in the past, families would sit down and have board game night. Now you can actually play video games. They'll bring families together and stuff. I know a lot of people are probably like, I don't fucking do that. But you probably live on your own now, or you live with parents that haven't even thought of that idea. You'd be surprised. Just ask your parents, hey, want to play We Play or something that's actually interactive with people that don't have to be playing Call of Duty or whatever. Yeah. And they'll have a lot of fun. You'll have a lot of fun together.
Oh, yeah. And you look at how Nintendo specifically... accomplished kind of crossing this generation gap with the Wii and Wii Bowling and stuff like that. Like, basically, Wii Sports, I think, has done some of the best things for game. It did for gaming unlike any other thing. And what I mean by that is it's one of those huge milestones. When you look at, say, something like Mortal Kombat creating the ESRB, more or less, with the whole violence rating, and you look at what Wii Sports accomplished in terms of showing video games can be fun, they can be creative, they can be for everybody. That's a one of those huge kind of watershed moments. Like, man, things have really kind of changed here.
Oh, man, the industry has boomed over the last, like, 15 years. Think about how far video games have come. Like, I think Nintendo, the original Nintendo is, what, 25 years old now? As of last year, maybe? I don't remember the actual date. I'm terrible with dates. We all know this. But just the level that it has integrated with society now, from then till now, it's kind of insane. I think we're kind of tapped out on the philosophical side of this, so we may as well get into why we specifically play video games, which might actually tie into the philosophical part, and we don't even realize it. I do know if anyone is wondering about the really intelligent side of this, there is a YouTube channel, The Game Theorists. They do a why you play video games. It was their 1 million subscribers special show or whatever. It really elaborates on this as why the human brain plays video games. So anyway, for me, well, this actually works into one of those philosophical ones. I used to play video games as an escape. I would play them to escape any of the issues that was happening in my real life, or even later on once the issues had been resolved. It was more, these realities that I'm delving into are way fucking cooler than the one I actually live in. And a lot of people suffer from this in a bad way. Like, well, in my younger days, I actually suffered from this in a bad way. I wouldn't go to school and stuff, which, who gives a shit about my past? Anyway, but see, it can actually be toxic, because you can be pulled into games away from your normal reality because it's an escape and you're hiding there because it's so much more fun. Have you ever had that happen? You probably have.
Yeah, I would say I've done that, so, but I've never had it considered a problem. I've said many times on the show, I've skipped school to play Chrono Trigger. But I would never be like, oh man, my life's shit, I better go down and play some fucking EverQuest or shit like that.
Well, I didn't even mean it that way, but I mean, some people have done it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Mine was more like, video games were awesome, and I always knew I wanted to do something in video games, and school was not hard for me. Like, I was getting ridiculously good grades by not going to school, so I didn't see the point in going. Which, you know, now that I'm older and wiser, that was a really dumb move. But, hey, I still enjoy what I do because video games are fucking awesome. Another thing that video games are for me, an artistic, what's the word for it? I guess venue. Basically, I draw a lot of my artistic passion from other artists because that's what video games are. They are a form of art. So, I mean, when I play Mega Man X, all I can think about is I want to go draw something of Mega Man and or Zero doing something because it's fucking awesome. Like, I just, it builds the passion within me. Your turn. I've said two in a row and you've been pretty quiet.
Okay, so as to why I play video games, well, quite simply, the controller was put in front of me. When I was a kid, I got my first Nintendo in the winter of 1985, with Rad Racer and Load Runner being the two games that I had first. It just became me, literally. And my parents put the controller in front of me, and I just played. I'd never played a video game up until that moment. In fact, I very much wonder how my life would have turned out had I not got into video games, because I used to love playing hockey and stuff like that. So,
maybe you'd be in the NHL right now, kicking some ass.
Well, it's funny, because that's the route I think my parents always wanted me to take. They always wanted me to be this professional athlete, to be, you know, they wanted me to be boy Captain America. I'd rather be a Mario brother.
Captain Canada?
Yeah, and they always expected that of me. But video games gave me this creative outlet, the fact that I would get sucked into these worlds of like Mega Man or Contra or the Ninja Turtles, stuff like that, those are the worlds that I knew the best and the ones I was most comfortable in. Now, being that chunky fat kid back in the day, you know, people would pick on you. I guess I'd play video games to escape that, but it never felt like it. I always felt like being in these games, I was flexing a skill that very few others had. I mean, yeah, you may have prowess out on the sports field, but hey, if you take one wrong move, you're going to break your leg, and I guess your career is over, buddy. My career relies on my thumbs and my reflexes.
And see, it's actually funny with the, like, back when we were young playing video games, people always saw us as a nerd, or you were weird because you liked doing that, and we had the skill set to play video games. Whereas nowadays, it's kind of common. It's actually seen as, it is a skill set. Example, League of Legends has now become a sport. People can get work visas to come and be on teams for it. And the better you are, the more money you can make. And it's awesome because of that. Like, people don't see you as weird anymore if you're good at video games. It's actually one of the benefits that I think every kid should play video games. You should monitor what games people are playing. Because one, you learn problem solving. Two, you're going to get team building, as long as there isn't a lot of hatred. So I would not say put your kid through fucking Call of Duty. What are you doing?
Oh, something fell over. Sorry.
Oh, I thought maybe Wiley was attacking something. You'll have them learn strategic thinking, and one of the best things, hand-eye coordination. I never realized I was so good at baseball because I played video games. I can throw a ball pretty much wherever the fuck I want it. I was really good at being a pitcher because, like, I did that as a side thing because obviously I like video games more.
See,
but
I think that's why I became a much better hockey goaltender. Like, I could, like, you throw a, like, if you hit a puck at me, yeah, I'll fucking catch it because I know probably where it's going.
Yeah, it's all because by playing video games, you're constantly doing something with your hands related to your eyes, so you actually build hand-eye coordination.
Now, there was one thing that I remember hearing years ago, and it's both a negative and a positive. I'm a better shot because of video games. And some people say, well, they can't make you a better shot, it's because you don't have to compensate for recoil, wind, etc., etc. I grew up playing Duck Hunt on the NES. I played with a zapper. My dad gave me a BB gun when I was about 7 years old. I could outshoot him, a guy with 30-plus years of experience with a gun. And even today, with handguns and rifles, I'm still a pretty goddamn good shot because of video games. I know how to line up my shot, what I gotta do. And plus, even games like America's Army
tell you,
control your breathing. You're a better shot when you're lying down. Brace yourself. Proper shot stance. Stuff like that. And, yeah, admittedly, yeah, I'm probably a better shot because of video games. That and, well, I've always kept the skill in practice. But it came from video games, though.
This has been the prototype. Recruiting for the Army since.
Well, I don't know. Well, that's another thing, too, to mention, too. Video games have given me a lot of problem-solving skills I don't think I would have had. And I remember there was a case years ago where a guy saved a woman's life because of the skills he's learned in America's Army. He learned basic first aid and first aid dressing.
Is really funny because America's Army, when it first came out a long time ago, they were using it as a recruitment tool, but it was actually a really good shooter for its time. And to actually get into the game, you had to take those basic training courses through the game, which they weren't that hard, but it did teach you like small basic things like first aid and all that, because it just gave you questions, and you were so eager to play the game that you did like actually paid attention and did that work. I don't see too many games forcing that kind of thing anymore because they're really not trying to recruit you into the Army, but you can learn skill sets from them.
I mean, I can think of other, I mean, I would credit games like Gran Turismo and Forza making me a much better driver.
That is a possibility, but most people driving in a game is not the same as driving in real life.
If you're using one of those kind of real, one of those big
Yeah,
setups.
I guess the ones that like they have that fully integrated. Yeah, you could probably drive better if you did that, if it was realistic enough, like Forza or Gran Turismo or any of the big titles.
Well, it's also like I immerse myself in those driving games where I think, okay, you have to react as if it's real life. You've got to think quick. And
yes,
I've had.
I didn't really think of the driving sticks, because doing it with analog sticks, I suck at driving in most games.
See, so I'm a fantastic driver with like analog sticks, depending on the physics engine.
Yeah,
but it's stuff like that that's almost gotten me out of car accidents, because I've had I was driving in a place called Wasega Beach. It was probably about a summer and a half ago. This guy just came out of nowhere and just almost sideswiped me and Blair, and I'm looking at him thinking, all right, I need to figure out how to get out of this. I've got probably about a second and a half. Oh, I'll just punch the accelerator and swerve between those two vehicles, because I'm looking at their wheels. They probably can't turn the way I need them to turn, so I can probably sneak in through there. Luckily, dodged the fuck out of that accident. He almost got into another guy behind me. But it's little things like that, because I find with video games, and just, at least in my mind, I'm probably very wrong here. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net.
Please tell Mike that he's crazy.
It's almost, if you can grab a hold of that second, you can almost slow time with it, thinking, all right, I have that second to think, to react. And video games have always given me that extra heartbeat to react.
Well, see, I don't entirely agree on that. Time doesn't really feel slowed, because I've had situations like last year when I had I was driving my mother's car, driving her home, and because she wasn't feeling well. So I took her car and I started driving her home, and her car was on its last legs. And I was really glad that I was driving, because basically the wheel came off of the car when I was in the middle of the highway. It bounced and went through like two fields, and my driver's side tire went, rather than being a tire, it was the hub. So that went straight down onto the pavement, and flawlessly, I just, like, I'm not trying to boast myself, but I was able to get off the road, get onto the side, and I sat there, and like, my mom was like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, that didn't seem as hard as I was expecting it to, considering the situation. And even though it was only like 3 seconds, I was entirely in control, and I like to cater that to the fact that in video games, you're almost always put into pressure, like pressured situations where you have to stay calm and think, and then you can freak out after it happened.
Because it kind of puts you in that state of mental preparedness.
Well, it's almost like it's learning, like teaching you a skill of how to control your adrenaline.
I completely agree. That's what I'm saying. We're basically talking about the same thing. We're just calling it different things. With me, time slowing down is almost like adrenaline. It gives you that second to think, but it allows you to do so much more when you're reacting. Mm-hmm. That's probably why you didn't freak out.
It was funny, because after the accident, and like we were on the side of the road, the guy behind me like pulls up and is just like, are you okay? He's like, how did you manage to like not like crash after that? I'm like, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I was just thought, get this off the road. And he's like, do you know where your tire went? And I'm like, I have no idea. He's like, it's like two fields that way. So we walked for like 5 minutes to go find the tire. But the entire time during it, I was not, like, I was thinking clearly. And then afterwards, it was like all the adrenaline just went away. And I'm like, holy fuck, that just happened. But I don't know. It's one of those things of, like, when you play video games and shit is super intense, and you get the feeling that, like, say, a competitive match of League of Legends, a shooter game, anything, and your adrenaline rises, you start to learn how to control your thoughts and emotions and everything, unless you're one of those ragey kids that's just like, fuck this, I rage quit, I'm out. Those kids don't learn how to control shit.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I've kind of learned from gaming, is that the more in control you are of yourself, the more you can kind of control the world around you. And I think that's one of the main reasons I continue to play video games, is, I don't know, it's almost like a form of self-mastery. The fact that, you know, so, for example, my wife freaks out over the smallest things. And it's always, and I always tell her, you're going to freak out at the wrong time, and some bad shit's going to happen. Mm-hmm. If you freak out like that. And while I'm obviously not physically fit to join the military or the police, things were where they teach you things like this. They're basically where they shoot guns over your head so you don't freak out, so you can always remain in control. This is a much more passive way of doing that and not freaking out. And I don't know. I mean, for me, the main reason I play games is I want to understand more about myself.
And that's pretty deep, Dodd. That's pretty deep.
Well, it is. Well, because I look at games and I look at the protagonists, like the Solid Snakes, the Commander Shepherds, even the Dragonborn in Skyrim, and I wonder what's going through their minds, what situations do they have to go through, and I look at the relationships they have, and I realize I'm probably reading way too far into it, but I want to understand the interpersonal relationships of fictional characters so that I may better understand the interpersonal relationships I have with others. And I don't know, just it's always a fascinating microscope I have on myself and on them, and I always feel like I'm constantly learning. Video games challenge me to learn, and that's why I've been on this huge learning kick. I mean, I spend
learning kick.
Well, I spend every night, guaranteed, at least an hour reading Wikipedia, or I'll read something sciencey. If I do not spend an hour or two a day learning about something sciency that I could take a pop quiz on, I feel I've wasted that day if I'm not learning something.
See, it's actually kind of funny because, as we know, my memory is terrible. Like, I cannot remember dates for the life of me, whereas you can be like, oh yeah, it was like the summer of this year and this is what I was doing. And it's like, holy fuck. For me, it's like, I don't know, 7 seconds ago, I think I was doing something. I don't remember. But when it comes to video games, I remember pretty much everything that I have done or plan to do. Like, it's weird how we can have a focus on things like that. I guess maybe it's just passion. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I mean, to summarize, for me, playing video games, why do I do it? First and foremost, like your answer is cool and all, but first and foremost, entertainment. Secondly, a passion for art. It really fuels my desire to want to be somebody. Three, because I like to entertain other people. So I like to play games and do these talk shows, etc. about them. It's just how I am. And for a completionist, I love beating a game. There's so much satisfaction in beating a game. Even if nobody else knows it, you're at least like, you know what? I played that game. I beat it. I know all about that game. Even if I'm going to forget in the next 30 days. And yeah, I mean, that's basically what gaming is to me. It's an artistic outlet and something that I'm just super passionate about.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like I said, it's understanding, it's learning for me. And I'm glad that my memory's gotten better. I feel like I actually feel like I could maybe go back to university and learn more about some of these subjects I've learned about in video games. So I'm thinking, all right, I've got the interest. Now let's turn that into a skill. If I can, you know, take what I've learned there. I mean, hell, I think video games helped me get into college back in the day because I learned so much. And it's one of those transferable skills. But then again, that's not always going to be the case for everybody. But anyway, guys, we pretty much run out of steam on this topic. So next time, what are we going to be talking about, Jamie?
I don't think we actually have a topic ready for next time. We do have a bunch of them that we've been thinking about doing. I want to actually pull up quickly here. Michael Dodd, what did I last say to you? Well, we were talking about betas. Anyway, so... Well,
guys, I want to hear from you. Tell me why you play video games. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net or go to our Facebook page,
which
comment
is
on the episode post.
www.facebook.com/TWIG.prototype. We'll also have a link. Like the page, get your friends to like the page. You can start posting stuff on there. Tell us why you play video games. Submit a video thing. I don't care. We'll watch it. We'll talk about it. We want to build up the community some more.
Yeah, exactly. So come out and tell us what you guys think. Like I said, do apologize for having the show up late last week. I was really sick. And this show would have come out sooner if it weren't for South Park, RoboCop, and My Little Pony.
And Titanfall.
And Titanfall.
And being sick.
Yeah.
For you.
But hey, I'm back and feeling good. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike Dodd.
And I've been Jamie J.J. Johnston saying, keep playing video games because they're fucking awesome. Bum 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 b